Like I've said before, we share our reality with things we can't even begin to comprehend. And yet, here they are. In our lives, in our stories, and in our waking nightmares. What do you do when things you can't see are coming to get you, and you're powerless to stop them? Unwelcome attention. Near Millerville, Alberta, Canada, 2011. Now, these encounters happened in October and November of 2011. And Greta stated that of the few encounters that she'd had in her life, it was the one that stuck with her the most. Greta's home was surrounded by thick forest, and the main road was barely visible from their doorstep. It all started one night when Greta and her family were having a bonfire in the backyard. They were all sitting around, enjoying the company, the warmth, and just talking, when suddenly they heard what sounded like a log being repeatedly slammed against a standing tree. She thought that the noise wasn't extremely loud, but it was definitely noticeable. She and her family stopped talking, and they looked at each other in silence. They wondered what it could be, and eventually they concluded that the noise seemed to be coming from up the hill in the trees and just past the creek. They heard the strange sound of wood logs being smacked together about 10 or 15 times, and then it suddenly stopped. Though the family thought it was weird, they didn't hear the sound again that night and soon decided that it was best to go inside. The next encounter was only a couple of days later, when her brothers, her cousin, and a very close friend of hers were sitting at their dining room table, and it was around 10 p.m. They were enjoying each other's company and having snacks as they played cards. Suddenly, a snowball the size of Greta's head pelted the bay window hard enough to shake the table. They jumped in fear and stared towards the window. They looked back at each other in shock. Not just because someone or something had thrown a snowball at their window, but because on the other side of that bay window was a very narrow balcony. And that balcony was some 15 to 20 feet, or 4 to 5 metres, off the ground. Shocked and concerned, they all went outside with flashlights, expecting to find something, anything, maybe someone lurking around and playing a trick. But that in itself would be weird, as the property was relatively isolated. They all looked around and could see or hear nothing. After a thorough search, they all decided to let it go and return to what they were doing without any further incidents that night. Now, the third encounter occurred some weeks later, as Greta was standing out the back of the property one evening, having a cigarette with her cousin. She was underneath the balcony and in front of a sliding basement door, when she heard a splashing and stomping noise coming from the creek that was about 100 meters from the house. At this time of the evening, it was completely pitch black, and the only real light was the light emerging from the house. Greta turned to her cousin and gave them a strange look, and within seconds, she was outside with a flashlight. There had been too many recent strange encounters now at the property, and by now they were starting to get concerned and a little bit cautious. They searched the immediate area with torches, and once again, they saw nothing. At this point, they were a little bit concerned, a little bit frustrated, and very much confused. They had had conversations about the strange goings-on, but they couldn't figure it out, or who or what it could be. Perhaps it was just animals? The next incident occurred again, outside as Greta was having a smoke in the dark. She had an eerie feeling, almost as if she was being watched. But that just wasn't possible. The house was practically in the middle of nowhere. From a very long distance away, the silence of the night was suddenly broken. She heard a howl, like she'd never heard before. It sounded as if a man with an extremely deep voice bellowed at the top of his lungs, and then the howl was followed with a loud whooping noise. Startled by this, Greta immediately put out her cigarette and rushed inside, locking all the doors. And after this incident, she never smoked outside at night ever again. Later that same night, when she was in her bedroom, she suddenly heard footsteps outside her window. Now, her window was located in the basement of the property, and the first thing she did was make sure her windows were locked and covered up so she couldn't be seen. Greta lay there as quietly as she could, as she heard pacing back and forth near her windows. She was worried that the loud sound of her own heartbeat would give her away, and she stayed perfectly still, listening to the pacing. This went on for a while, and she sat in utter terrified silence until the noises of those footsteps eventually went away. It was hours before she could breathe easy again, and getting to sleep that night was not a simple thing to do. As a result of all these goings on, the family started having conversations about moving, and it was decided that a move to a less remote area would be in the best interests of the family. Then, the final encounter happened only weeks before they moved back to town. Greta's family had all decided to stay at her grandmother's for the weekend, which was away from their home, and went without an incident. When they returned home, the house appeared to be in order, and they didn't notice anything unusual from the outside. However, when they opened the front door, they discovered that it was strangely colder inside the house than it was outside. They assumed that maybe the heater had stopped working while they were away, and they all entered the property. Her brother went to check on the heater and disappeared downstairs to restart it. A few moments later, he let out a scream, which made all of them jump in shock and look at each other. He then screamed a second time for them all to go downstairs and have a look. They all rushed downstairs, and what they saw scared them all. Their sliding door had been ripped open with the handle missing, and there were chunks of wood everywhere. But what really terrified them was that claw marks were all over the door. Large gashes could be seen on the frame, and there was still evidence of snow tracks all over the basement floor. But it was impossible to tell what had made the tracks. Strangely, there were no snow tracks near the stairs or that went up into the main part of the house. They had a look outside but could not see any tracks left in the snow because it had snowed all weekend and they had been covered up. Needless to say, none of them wanted to be there. They then moved out of that place within the week, with her father stating that they were moving for financial reasons, but they all knew better. The incidents in that little remote hamlet in Canada have haunted Greta to this day, and the thought that just maybe someone or something had been watching her every night still gives her the chills. Scratching at the screen door. Highland Park, California, USA, 1974. This story unfolds when Ursula was about 4 or 5 years old and after her parents had divorced. She lived at home with her mother and sister Barbara, and at that time her mother would often babysit other children to ensure a regular income. It was difficult for a single mother to work a full-time job with young children, so that's how she got by. This incident occurred in October that year, and Ursula only remembers that because it happened just a few days before Halloween. She remembers that people had put up Halloween decorations in the neighborhood, and that preparations were being made for the holiday. One day, Ursula's mother had the children all in her care, but she wanted to walk to a small bakery very close to the home to buy some Halloween cookies for all of the children. So her mother, sister Barbara, and 4 of the children left for the bakery. Ursula stayed behind with Ray. He was one of the children being looked after by her mother, but Ray was feeling sick at that time and couldn't go with them. Even at that young age, Ursula felt sorry for Ray, as he was suffering from a brain tumour and he was scheduled to have surgery. As a result, Ray needed to take care of himself and rest. He was too weak to walk up to the road, and so he stayed behind with Ursula. Ursula and Ray waited patiently and eagerly for her mother and the other children's return. After all, they were coming back with cookies. While they sat at the kitchen table, waiting for the others, they started to hear a strange scratching noise at the screen door. Whoever, or whatever it was, sounded like they were trying to open the screen door, which terrified Ursula and Ray. What made things worse was they couldn't see anyone there at the door. The screen door was locked, but the second wooden door was open, and even though Ursula was smart enough not to go near the screen door to open it, she admits that she did not think to lock the wooden door. The scratching continued, and still they couldn't make out that anyone was there at that door, and it definitely wasn't her mother. The scratching at the door suddenly sounded so insistent and so aggressive that Ray started to shake in fear as he looked at Ursula and then back at the back door. His eyes welled up with tears, as if he was about to cry. Ursula took one last look towards the door, and pushing her own fear aside, quickly grabbed Ray by the hand. She quickly and silently took him to the front part of the house, where they hid behind the door that connected the living room and her mother's bedroom. They could hear the scratching at the door still going. It seemed to grow louder and louder, even though they were now further away. Almost as if whatever was trying to get into the place was getting angrier and more aggressive. Ursula told Ray to stay very, very quiet and not cry, that it was okay, and that if they stayed quiet, they would be safe. Now, Ursula didn't really believe it herself, but she was reassuring herself as much as she was reassuring him. They huddled there in silence and abject fear for what seemed like forever as the scratching at the door continued. It may have only been 10 minutes or so, but to Ursula, it felt like an eternity. They tried not to cry or yell out, and she hoped to God that her mother would arrive home soon. Finally, when her mother did arrive home, and Ursula heard her and the others walking in the back door, she was relieved. Her mother, not seeing the children immediately, grew concerned and called out to them. Ursula said she could hear the concern in her mother's voice as she did call out. She peeked out and she saw her mother, and then called out that they were there as both her and Ray emerged from behind the door in the living room. The reason her mother was so concerned was not only because she didn't see the two children right away, but because she found part of the screen from the door had been ripped up and pulled away. And that was how she was unable to lock the screen door and get inside. On closer inspection, her mother then found part of a human fingernail left behind. That's right, whatever or whoever it was had scratched so hard at the screen door that they'd broken off a part of their nail. Ursula added that it wasn't even a fake nail, it appeared to be an actual fingernail. She shudders to this day thinking about what actually happened on that terrifying morning. Dreadful thoughts still swim in her head of why they couldn't see anyone at the door, but could hear that scratching. Dreadful thoughts also still swim in her head about what could have happened if her mother would have been just a minute or two later. She described the whole thing as so strange and scary, and, as a result of the incident, developed a phobia of witches. As for Ray, Ursula doesn't recall what happened to him after his surgery, and said that she hopes he's doing okay. I hope so too. One terrifying encounter is enough. If you'd like to submit your own chilling true tale, so that your story might be featured in one of these episodes, contact me through our website at www.chillingtruetales.com or on email on seekersosparanormal@gmail.com. Email details are in the description. Thanks again for joining me. Until next time.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.